Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm the best, thank you. I'm really looking forward. This always makes it seem much more real when I start doing press for Australia. It means I'm actually going back again. So much has happened in the interim.
It's just over 5 years since we last talked, and you were touring Australia then, and you just released your first book. Have you written any more books?
I have. I've had a second novel out. I've also had two more albums out, and now I'm in the middle of writing my autobiography that's coming out next autumn here first.
You started life in Belfast.
Oh, yes. I was born in Belfast and then grew up in the middle of all of the worst times in history. So you can imagine how challenging that must have been.
Does growing up in Belfast in what's called the Troubles feature heavily in your autobiography?
It does, actually. It was a difficult thing to know how to play it in terms of how much to write in the early part of my life and how much to leave out and move on to the music and the years in London and so on. But as I've been writing it, the biggest chunk so far has been about my early life, yeah.
You sang at George Best's funeral back in 05. That must have been a very sad occasion.
I mean, it's amazing to think, first of all, that it was 05, that it was 4 years ago. We just had an anniversary, and I happened to be in Belfast that day when the anniversary came. It was bittersweet because on one hand, we wanted to celebrate his life and show the world that, you know, that we were really proud of him and he did extraordinary things. And then, of course, as we know, he was a victim of alcohol addiction, so that was a very sad occasion to sit there and sing, and his son and his dad were in the same seats in the front row. You know, it was very bittersweet and very sad, but ultimately I feel proud to have been part of the soundtrack of the celebration of George too.
Did you know George Best?
I did a little bit, yes. I sang for a long time with Van Morrison, that you might know about already, and yeah. So anytime we played in Manchester, for example, George came to a handful of the shows, and I was lucky enough to sit around afterwards and talk with him and Van about their early times in Belfast in the 60s, when Belfast was a very different city, you know. And here you have two East Belfast lads, you know, George and Van, who went off and made extraordinary things happen because they were just so naturally talented.
You sang for Ireland in the 06 Eurovision Song Contest. Now, Eurovision gets a lot of good and bad publicity. Well, what do you think?
Well, I think it's one of the only things that we have that really, really unites all of Europe, you know. I mean, there's also, you know, you have to remember that there are so many things that are negatives in terms of, you know, people fighting over different bills of things and political agendas going on. It's one of the only things left in the world that it's just about fun. But we have to remember, it's a song contest, it's a singing contest, it's a spectacular event. Every year they seem to up the ante in terms of production. It's the campest thing I ever did in my life. It's also, on a more serious note, one of the only things in the world that you can do where you actually represent your country. I mean, I remember very clearly, until that point, people saying, please welcome Brian Kennedy. But the minute I got to Eurovision land, it was, please welcome Ireland. So you're very, very aware that, my goodness, I'm really representing my country here, you know.
On a more recent front, you were voted Ireland's best male singer at Ireland's Music Awards back in August this year.
I was. It's always, always, always wonderful to get awards. I don't care what anybody else says. You know, of course, it's not one of the reasons why we do it, but it's always a thrill to get celebrated by your peers, by your country, by people that you respect, and ultimately by the fans, because without the fans, I wouldn't have a career.
Your coming tour of Australia in February and March is pretty extensive, with your last show here in Perth on the 23rd of March.
I mean, this is my 8th trip back to Australia. And I'm really thrilled that we're really getting up there now, because Australians and Kiwis, of course, absolutely adore live music. You have such a history of it yourself, so it's even more flattering for somebody like me to come that far and to think that there are people actually going to be in those seats in those venues. I'm so thrilled.
One final question. You've had a haircut. You're starting to look respectable.
Yes, the flowing locks have gone, because I think there's a certain point in the man's life where you just have to look to older gentlemen to see what's going on, and I think, well, what's George Clooney doing? What's he doing with the hair? Because he started off with big flowing locks, as you might remember, possibly. And I think that, you know, there's a lot, if there's lots of Australian men out there who are kind of clinging on to their long locks, just take a leaf out of George Clooney's book and crop it off. That's what I would say.
I was thinking more along the lines of what mums say, get a haircut and go out and get a real job.
Oh, well, that's only when you're a kid. I mean, I'm a man now.
Thank you for talking to us.
My absolute pleasure. And look, I look forward to seeing you all at the venue.
Lovely. Thanks, Brian.
My pleasure.
Cheers.